Please turn to Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let him who stole steal no longer. For the last few weeks, we've been looking into Paul's callings to the Ephesian believers concerning their responsibilities. As new believers before the Lord, the challenge of verses 25 through 32 can be summed up as follows. You have been saved by grace, so you should live a life that is consistent with who you are in Christ Jesus. When God saves a sinner, they are immediately changed by the power of God. The old man of sin is to be put off, verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Your former conduct that is to be in your past. Whatever it was about the old man that was sinful, you are now to put that off. Put off, and you're supposed to be a new man of righteousness, and that is to be put on, verse 24. And I'm in Ephesians 4. And that you put on the new man which was created to God, notice, in true righteousness and holiness. The old man of sin is to be put off. The new man of righteousness is to be put on. The idea that is being put forward here is clearly stated in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It tells us that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creature. When the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we're saved, we have become a new creature. A new creature. We're born again. John 3, verse 3, you have to be born again. And those that are born again begin a daily process of putting off and putting on. At conversion, a brand new life begins. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul uses the phrase, in Christ. This is one of Paul's favorite expressions because he uses it over 130 times in his epistles. In the Greek, this phrase is known as a locative of sphere. A locative. A locative tells us where something is. The sphere speaks of the thing's location in relationship to other things. A locative. So when the Bible says that we are in Christ, it means that we live within the sphere of Christ, this circle, this sphere. In other words, Christ is that which surrounds us. Far too often we live by the circumstances that surround us, as opposed to Christ surrounds us. No matter where we go, we cannot step out of Jesus because he is the sphere that we live inside of. You can step out of a circle, but you cannot step out of a sphere. A sphere surrounds all that is within it. In like manner, Jesus Christ totally surrounds all those who are in him. If we could just get that into our minds. We are in this sphere. This sphere of Christ. It'd be like, look at the planet Earth. That's a sphere. If we were in the middle of the planet, you could not get out of the planet. You're in the middle of the planet in Christ, totally surrounded. When you consider our location with regards to the area of our security, we're eternally safe because we cannot step out of the sphere of Christ. That's why it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you are not leaving or forsaken because you're in the midst of that sphere. No matter where we run, we're still within that sphere. We cannot escape from him. When we consider our position within the sphere of Christ with regards to our daily walk, it reminds us that every step occurs within the sphere of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Every action, every thought, every deed should be considered in the light of who we are, whose we are, and where we are. Because we are in Christ, that is ever within the sphere of his presence. We are always there in his presence, his influence, his will. We now conform every area of our life to his will. Simply stated, because we are in him, we should live like we are in him. Back to Ephesians 4. In verses 25 and 29, we saw that we're to be different with our words. Today's message is called No Longer. No longer steal. No longer use your words to curse but to bless. No longer. No longer with your words. When we're saved and the reality of our salvation becomes apparent to us, it should change our speech. No longer curse with your tongue, but now bless. Now give people sapphires with that tongue. We saw we should be different in the area of wrath and vengeance and anger. Since we are saved, we're to demonstrate that salvation that we have by controlling our temper, controlling our anger, having a righteous anger and not a sinful anger. No longer. We'll look closer at our passage today and speak more about stealing, that we should no longer steal. Let him who stole steal no longer. If we've been transformed by the power of God, transformation will show up in our lives each and every day that we live. You who were unloving, no longer be that way, now be loving. You that was hateful, now be loving. You who stole, steal no longer. Let him that stole steal no more. Paul uses the image of a man who was, notice, who was no longer. Who was a thief who comes to Christ for salvation as his illustration of how repentance and salvation completely changes one's life. Faith and repentance goes hand in hand at conversion. We have in our text a person basically who had no scruples about taking which belonged to somebody else and using it for himself. This person in the text, he's lazy and he's greedy. He's speaking about somebody that wants what others have, labored to obtain. They want the finer things of life, so they take what they want to fulfill their selfish desires. And they do so with no thought for what their actions cost their victims. Evidently, stealing was a real problem in that society, for it was easier for many people to make a living by taking from others than it was to work a job. By the way, stealing is still a big problem in our society. About 5% of what you spend goes to cover business losses from theft. Approximately $140 billion of material and time is stolen from employers every year. And I'm reading to you 1990 figures. The problem's far worse today. Shoplifting rates increased dramatically. A paper given at a symposium on employee theft presented a breakdown of the multi-billion dollars that inventory shortages cost departments and chain stores every year. Of these losses, 10% clerical error, 30% shoplifting, 60% to theft by employees. To him who stole, steal no longer. Brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God, you are to be different. You are to no longer do the things that you used to do. That's a sure sign of conversion. Whatever it was that you did do, you no longer do that. You repent of that. Whatever the sin was, you fill in the blank. We all have our little favorites. All of us have a tendency to prefer one sin over the other. That's why Paul's saying, if you stole, steal no longer. Especially here in the West. One of the reasons is we have an entitlement society. We've been trained by parents and the government to live with our hands out for everything we want. Nobody wants to work anymore. Many want the government to give everything to them. Many never stop to think that somebody has to pay for what we're taking. Somebody got to pay the bill. We do that as a country. I'm preaching in America, so I'm speaking of Americans. I can't speak for others in other society, but if that's true there, then you need to repent there. Those who refuse to work and to live on the government handout are just as much of a thief as the man who waves a pistol in a teller's face and robs a bank. Now, of course, there's a difference in the level of theft, but the principle is the same. If you take from others because you're not willing to work, if you're not willing to work yourself, you're a thief. I realize that some people need help. I'm not talking about that. I'm not telling you about disregard for those that do not have. I'm talking about those that are lazy, that can get out and go make an honest living, but they refuse to. They rather scheme. And let me just say, if you got that mentality, that's them. This message is basically for the church. These Bible studies are basically for the church, for the body of Christ, for those that believe. I'm not talking to unbelievers about this because they're still going to do what they do because they've never been converted. In the church, there's areas that we steal from others and we never even blink an eye, bat an eye. A child takes a few dollars from a parent's wallet. He's a thief. Pocketing the extra change a clerk gives you by mistake is stealing. Failure to report income to the IRS is stealing. Padding the expense account is stealing. Lying about an insurance claim is stealing. Overestimating an estimate, causing the customer to pay more than is necessary, is stealing. Failing to pay your debt is stealing. Claiming more hours than your work is stealing. Failing to quote an author in a published work or a school paper is stealing. We steal with our money. That the Lord has said he loves a cheerful giver. But we're not cheerful in our giving. One of the reasons we Christians sometimes have problems in this area and these areas that I mentioned is because we don't understand what repentance is all about. Many seem to think that salvation begins and ends with accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, he's my Savior, but he's really not my Lord. So goes the false teaching. Many church people no longer understand that repentance goes hand in hand with faith at conversion. They never get a handle on the truth that salvation is conversion. Not only does the Lord deliver you from the penalty of sin, but he delivers you from the power of sin. Many believers don't understand that. Conversion is a change of behavior and beliefs. When a man or a woman is converted, when they're regenerated, another term for being born again, regenerated, faith and repentance is granted unto that individual, and it causes a change in behavior and beliefs. It seems amazing to me that the Lord would have to spell this out, but Paul is called to write that those who are saved are expected to be different. But we have a tendency, even as children of God, to explain everything away. We come up with an excuse for everything. It just shows you. It just shows you this body of death that we still possess, even though we have a new heart, the Holy Spirit dwells inside us. How quick we are to make excuses for our sins. But the text is clear. No longer. That's the gist of this message. No longer. It's not just stealing. It's everything. No matter what your sin was or what your sin is. Because you might not be a thief, but I can prove to you that in some way, shape, or form you are. You might not be a thief, but there may be other areas in your life that are out of line with God's will for his children. Paul could have mentioned any number of sins like he does in Romans 1. So like I said to you, maybe you think, oh, well, you know, I'm not like that. I don't steal. All right. Now, if you think you don't steal, no longer, as I said, the name of this message is no longer. Maybe you no longer steal. All right, let's go with that. Let's go with that thought. But I would ask the question, based on Romans 1, verses 29 through 32, see if you are guilty of any of these sins, and then apply the principle, no longer. Put off, put on the new man. No longer do this. Unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. How about any envy? How about murder or anger? How about strife? How about deceit? How about whisperers? You like talking about your brother or sister? Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Do you think that you can apply no longer to any of those sins that I just mentioned? We're saints of God now, brothers and sisters. We're no longer to live as we used to live. Sin should not characterize our life. Holiness and righteousness should characterize our lives. It says in Ephesians 4:24, created according to God, true righteousness and holiness. But you got to put that on. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. The sins of the old life must not be allowed to follow you into the new life. The actions and attitudes that characterize the old man of sin must not characterize the new man of the new man at the conversion. The general principle here is that since we are saved, we're expected to live like we are saved. We say the Lord has changed us. Well, we're to live like he has changed us. Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We're inside the sphere of Christ. John said it like this in 1 John 2:6. He that says he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. Notice, even as he walked. Brothers, we are to walk as Christ. We're no longer to walk as sons of Satan, because now we are sons of God. And now daily we must put that on. Daily. Put off concerning your former conduct. No longer steal. No longer give place to the devil. No longer. Here's how Christ put it. Matthew 16:24-26. Then said Christ unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And no longer let him who stole steal no longer. Let him or her who, you fill in the blank, whatever that sin was or sins are, you're to no longer walk that way. If you be listening today and you're not a child of God, you have no choice but to walk in those sins, the different sins that I mentioned, because you don't have the power. You don't have the power to put off your former conduct. There's no former conduct. That's your conduct. You can't put off. You can't put on because you're not converted. Repentance and faith hasn't been granted to you. But if you will simply come to Christ today and repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You shall become a new man or a new woman. You shall be in Christ, living in the sphere of Christ. Come to Christ today for salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Come to Christ today. If you be in Christ today, as I mentioned earlier, in Christ, you're in the locative of sphere. You're in that sphere of Christ. You're to no longer. Whatever you did before that's against the will of God, now in Christ, you're to no longer do that. Whatever it was, no longer. No longer. No longer. In Christ.